crossroads, destinations along Minnesota's Highway 1. Ely is considered Minnesota's jumping-off point to wilderness. Embraced by the Superior National Forest, it provides the gateway to the Boundary Waters and also happens to be one of our destinations along Minnesota's Highway 1. What's striking about downtown Ely is how hilly it is, and that you won't find a Walmart or Target anywhere among the canoe and camping outfitters, Northwoods eateries, and rustic shop fronts. Ely has always attracted the adventurer, like polar explorer Will Steger and nature activist and writer Sigurd Olsen, who both called it home at one time. People come here to get away, sometimes for a weekend camping expedition, sometimes permanently. Because in Ely, remote and abundant wilderness is as close as a canoe paddle or a hiking trail.
I first visited Ely back in 1996 in the winter.
Jarrett Johnston is Education Director at the International Wolf Center in Ely.
Just fascinated by the animal. But then we went out and experienced the wilderness and saw wolf tracks out in the wild. I'm from Missouri, where we don't have a population of wolves. You know, and just fell in love with the nature and the environment up here. And wolves are a part of that. They have value just in their existing. We know that wolves represent wilderness. They represent something wild.
The Wolf Center was created in 1985 and moved into its current facility in 1993, where it has welcomed close to 40,000 visitors every year.
This area up in the Superior National Forest was the only place in the lower 48 states that had a resident viable wolf population before they were protected in 1974 under the Endangered Species Act. The board of directors looked at a number of different locations and settled on Ely as the perfect place for it.
The biggest draw? The center's resident wolf pack, adults Aiden and Denali, and pups Bolts and Luna.
But there's nothing like seeing wolves in a nearly natural habitat. You know, our enclosure is created so that people know and can feel what it's like to see a wolf out in the wild, because unless you're very fortunate, you generally don't see wolves in the wild. Most people who come here may see one from their car or that sort of thing, but even those of us who spend a lot of time in the outdoors don't see them on a regular basis.
What are some surprising things about wolves? I mean, because I think there are a lot of misconceptions out there.
Yeah. Well, first of all, one of the basics that we always start with is that wolf packs are families. They're the mom and the dad, the pups from this year, maybe the pups from the previous year, and on rare occasion, the pups from the year before. Sometimes people have this image of these marauding wolves going out and gathering up into these monster packs and, you know, going and killing everything. And that's just really not the case. They're family units, and the pups stay until they want to breed and they want to join either another pack or create their own pack. Another one that we always talk about is wolves don't howl at the moon. They howl for lots of reasons, but they howl to communicate. But oftentimes it's to recall the pack together when they've gone in different directions, or it's to warn another pack off if they're close to territories and that sort of thing. So it's not just howling on full moons.
Johnston shepherds me through the facility, whose architectural elements reflect wolf imagery, to the main exhibition area, where among a host of options, a visitor can access a multimedia presentation on all kinds of wolf howls.
What a reply. Packs are usually quite responsive to kills, since they are such an important resource. If we were to act like most strangers, we'd move away and leave the pack with its kill. But instead, let's get closer and try for a second reply.
We actually lead wolf communication field trips. That sound represents wild, and to be traveling in the wilderness up here or in the deep woods and to hear that, you know that you're someplace special. It's one of my favorite things.
One of the adventuring spirits attracted to Ely's wild side is Susan Shirky. You might not know her name, but you'll know her work by the hearts and flowers trim on the hats, anoraks, mittens, and shell pants she designed for wintergreen northern wear. Her distinct designs have kept Ely's residents and tourists bundled against the blistering chill of winter, and have traveled with them on canoe trips into the boundary waters, on ski runs, and on snowshoe treks under the stars.
Paul and I met Will Steger in 1979. Will Steger is one of the most well-known Arctic explorers in America. And we had heard about him, and we went to one of his slideshows in Minneapolis. And afterwards, we got to talk to Will, and we asked him if he'd ever be interested in doing Doxa trips with people with disabilities. And he was very, very interested. So he invited us to come up, and we brought a group of people. We did several trips with him in the winter. So we started bringing people up here and camping out in 40 below with people who were severely disabled. But we would heat bricks over the wood stove, wrap the bricks in towels, and put the bricks around the legs of the people that were paralyzed because they couldn't generate their own heat. So we got to know Will that way. Well, anyway, in 1981, Paul and I got married, and we had our honeymoon up here. And we were out on Hoba Lake at a cabin, and there was a knock on the door, and there was Will Steger. He was asking us to run his business the following year. He was waiting for us to get married, and of course he knew where we were. We were very interested in that, you know, leaving our jobs in Minneapolis and moving up here. And I remember talking to my dad. I said, we both had really good jobs in the cities, and I said, gee, we have an opportunity to live in a log cabin. No running water, no electricity. Run this Doxa business for a season. What do you think? And he just said, go for it. You know, you're young. You got to do these things. You can't be afraid, you know. Anyway, we moved up here and we never left.
In 1986, Steger led a team of six, including Susan's husband Paul and Anne Bancroft, on the first confirmed dog sled journey to the North Pole without resupply. The team wanted Susan Shirky to design the clothing that would last them through the 1,000-mile, 2-month journey in temperatures that sometimes dropped as low as negative 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Those initial designs would eventually morph into Susan's company, Wintergreen Northern Wear.
I grew up in a Scandinavian household. My mom is all Swedish, so I always grew up with Scandinavian clothing, and being in the Arctic with the Inuit-style clothing combined with my heritage, I started to put together my own little style of Scandinavian Arctic clothing. What happened is I had made Paul an anorak for the expedition, and I put this trim on everything. And at first he had hearts and flowers trim, and he didn't want to wear it. And I said, well, that's just something for you to remember. Bria and me, our oldest. Anyway, that became my signature, the trim.
Shirky sold her business, but you can still find her clothing at the downtown Ely Wintergreen Northern Wear shop. Nowadays, instead of designing clothes, she helps her husband run the Wintergreen Dog Sled Lodge, which has been featured on the Today Show and the Travel Channel.
I think when people are free to be who they are, a little goofiness or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, they kind of let it all out, and nobody is judging them. We're an uptight society, you know? We have to look a certain way, act a certain way, and I think there's a lot going on in people's heads that they don't let out. The dogs allow people. They're just rambunctious. They want to be petted. You try putting them away, they're pulling you. People automatically get put into, whoa, you know, you know, in different situations, and maybe they fall down in the snow and they're laughing. They're experiencing things that they did when they were a kid, landing in the deep snow and, oh, you know. And I just think that's what the outdoors does. Here you are, you know.
This is Britt Ahmet on the road for KAXE, KBXE, where Crossroads, Destinations Along Highway 1, is made possible by listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.